Hello, Cody. Psalm 30 is one of the scriptures from the Old Testament that I want to read to you, and then a few from the New Testament. And the message today is Our Lord's Day of Darkness in the Days of His Flesh. So, first of all, in Psalm 30, verse 5, For his anger is but a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, Psalm 49, speaking of those that do not belong to God, it says in verse 13, This their way is their folly, yet after them men approve their saying. They are appointed as a flock for hell. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. Now, in the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, verse 52, the last part of it, our Savior is speaking to his enemies. It says, Are you come out as against a robber with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched not forth your hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. In chapter 23, verse 42, the thief on the cross is speaking to our Lord, and he says to him, Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And our Savior says to him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was now about the sixth hour, and the darkness came over the whole earth until the ninth hour. And the sun's light was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that there are more ways than one to look at life. We are glad that there is a heavenly interpretation of it as well as an earthly. And we are glad that the light of heaven has shined into the souls of some that they may understand a little of thy ways. As to completeness, our God, thy ways are past finding out, but you have given us an inkling of thy ways, and this, our God, is like a flood of light in comparison to the absence of light in the hearts of the lost. So, our Father, for this day especially, we give thee thanks. Thy word doth say that Jesus Christ abolished death, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And thou hast told us that we are beholding the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We worship thee, our Father, for this illumination that comes through the person of thy Son. We desire, our Father, as we've been singing of birthdays, both physical and spiritual, that the light of heaven this day shall shine into the darkened hearts of some who are here. For us who are followers of Christ, who by thy grace would seek to walk in the light, we pray, Father, that thou shalt give us more light. So we rejoice that there is this day another year in which we can remember historically the resurrection of thy Son. We thank you, our Father. Now forgive us our sins, we confess them, forgive and cleanse as you promise, and prepare the hearts of the listeners and the lips of him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are some things I am, but there is one thing I am not, and it is this. I am not a miserable fool. And yet all of you who do not know Christ as Savior, all of you who do not believe in the resurrection, God designates as miserable fools, and I say, thank God, I am that no more. At one time, I was, but no more. These words are taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, if in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And concerning those who doubt the resurrection, the Apostle Paul says, thou fool. So, in the Epistle to Corinthians, there are those that are miserable, and there are those who are fools, but thank God, those who have trusted in Christ are no longer described as miserable fools, but they are those whose souls have been blessed, and God calls them wise, the illumined. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. So God has shined into the souls of us who trust Christ as Savior, and now we have the light of heaven, and our desire is to share it with you this morning. I've been speaking this past month about days in the life of our Lord. And sad to say, even for him who is the light of heaven, there was a day of darkness, but only one day. Out of his whole life, there was only one day of darkness. There were many days when there were sorrows, because he was described as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So many days of sorrow would enter into the life of our Savior, but it could be removed. There were sorrows for him, because it says again and again that Jesus wept. There were sorrows, but no sorrows that could not be removed by his communing with God, his Father. But there was one day of darkness in the life of our Savior, and I read to you about that day in the Gospel of Luke. It tells about it in all the Gospels, but it is most vividly described in the Gospel of Luke, because it tells us there that the sun was darkened that day. The sun refused to shine that day. And that day was a day of a special darkness, as the day of his birth was a day of special light. That is what is so remarkable, that God has determined that when the light of heaven comes to earth, there shall be a special heavenly demonstration of a day that has more light than ordinary days. Because it says that when that angel came from heaven to announce the birth of our Savior, it says they saw him in his brightness and in his glory, and they were sore afraid, the shepherds. They were keeping watch for their flocks by night, but this night glowed with the supernatural light of this angelic being from heaven. And then it says that suddenly there was a host of heavenly beings upon earth. And imagine if one had such light. Think of this night that was filled with light when our Savior was born. But there was also a day that had more darkness in it than an ordinary day, and that was the day our Savior died. Our Savior says, are there not 12 hours in the day, just speaking?
speaking in a general way, we expect a day to have darkness and light. But this was a day that, in addition to the light that it had, of that light, 3 hours of light were taken away. And it said the sun was darkened. So here was a day that, instead of having, let us say, 12 hours of light, God said, I am taking away at noon, the brightest time of day, 3 hours, and I am covering the earth with darkness, because this is the day that darkness enters the soul of my son. And the day of his death was the day of darkness in the life of Christ. There had never been a day of darkness before. There had been sorrowful days, days when tears were shed, but there had never been a day of darkness. The sun had never refused to shine. In fact, his days, and this is the marvel, were filled with bringing light to the hearts of those that were filled with darkness, bringing joy to those who were filled with sadness. His life dried tears all through his life on earth. Here was the darkness of death. The widow of Nain's son was being taken out to be buried, and the Lord Jesus touched the bier upon which he was lying, and he spoke to the man, and he told him to arise, and then that darkness was taken away. And it says concerning the people to whom Christ came to live in their neighborhood, it says, to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, a great light shined. And so the world, by the presence of Jesus, had more light each day, every time the Savior visited a city, a locality. The light of heaven radiated from his person, and because of that, those that sat in darkness saw a great light. This was a spiritual light. So our Savior was the light of the world, and he shined into men's souls, and he removed the darkness that was there because of sin. But in our Savior's case, he who was the light of the world, there was a time when there was a day of darkness, and it was one like he had never experienced before. And it began early in the day, and then it gradually built up, and the sorrow of the Savior was expressed when, sitting at the Lord's table, he said, one of you shall betray me. And the hearts of the true apostles were broken, and our Savior was saddened as well, because he said, yea, my own familiar friend, Judas Iscariot, was going to betray him. And this is the way it's described. It says that when the Savior had given Judas Iscariot sup, it says, he went out, and it was night. Because night had already filled his heart. It said Satan had put into his heart, the heart of Judas Iscariot, to betray the Savior. And then finally, when he abandoned himself to Satan, it says Satan filled his heart. And then Judas went out, and it was night. And there was a little relief for the Savior at that time. He was relieved because the one who pretended to be his friend had gone out for a while. And then he communed with his disciples. But after that, the night increasingly descended upon him. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that our Savior fell upon his face. He was in an agony, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and he cried to his God. And for the first time in his experience of the days of his flesh, his Father was silent. This is what he tells us in Psalm 22. He said, our fathers cried unto thee, and you heard them. He said, but I cry unto thee, why are you silent, my God? So, in the garden, the night in its darkness came more upon him. And finally, when our Savior has cried to his God and has besought him that this cup might pass from him if it were possible, nevertheless not my will but thine be done, and then he ascertained what he had known from all eternity, he ascertained experientially that the only way of salvation for man was the drinking of that cup. The Lord Jesus rose up from his prostration in prayer, and he went forth to meet the enemy. And then this familiar friend who had dined with him, who ate of his bread, who stole his money, finally, this wicked one came, and he said, "Hail, Rabbi!" And he came up and kissed him. And he said, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And then this is the way it's described, and I read it to you. The Savior said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." And for the first time, I challenge you to show me anywhere in the Bible that a sinner ever laid hands upon the Savior to do him ill. I know they wanted to time and again. They wanted to slay him. Tell me any pain the Savior ever experienced from the hands of sinful men until this hour. You say, "Why, he never did." Why, of course not. When Pilate said to him, "Do you not understand that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" The Lord Jesus said, "You would have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from heaven." The Lord Jesus knew. The Lord Jesus, in a way greater than Job, had a hedge about him, had the hand of God about him, and the hands of sinful men could never touch our Savior until the Father gave him over into the hands of sinful men. Him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by the hands of sinful men did crucify and slay. And until that hour, the Lord Jesus understood. And after that hour, had our Savior done this, and thank God he did not do it, he said, "Even now I could beseech my Father, and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels." But he did not do that. And he said to his enemies, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." And when God took back his hand, then sinful men laid their hands upon him and did their worst. I'm so glad you think that the world is getting better and the world is filled with good men. This is what you will discover, that the good men of the world, the religious leaders of their day, hired their soldiers to come and lay hold on the Lord Jesus. And then the soldiers of the day, the Roman soldiers of the day, they spat in his face and had a delightful time in mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus was prepared for it all because he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." The Lord Jesus knew that. That is why in the garden he was in an agony praying that this hour might pass from him, because he knew what it was physically to fall into the hands of sinful men, and then he knew what lay beyond that darkness, that power of darkness. And so the Lord Jesus endured this darkness, the darkness of being in the hands of sinful men, being exposed to those that were vulgar and rude and so contrary to anything that he had experienced in his whole life. And they were there to be near him, to abuse him, to spit in his face, to insult him. They were all there, and this darkness of sin flooded his life. And the Lord Jesus endured that. But I said the darkness was becoming more and more intense. And then the day of darkness reached its height when he was crucified, when he was hanged upon the cross. And not yet, but after 3 hours on the cross, then the hour of darkness, the abyss of darkness, entered the soul of our Savior. And God said, "I am determined that man shall not see it, but I am determined that it shall be eternally registered that this is your day of darkness. And what is remarkable is this, I must tell you. It says in our King James Bible that the sun was darkened. But it says in some of the ancient manuscripts that the sun was eclipsed. And all of those with scientific minds have told us that when it is a full moon, it is impossible for there to be an eclipse of the sun. And so I say, thank God for that. If that is so, then there was no other heavenly body that shut out the light of the sun, but God himself put his hand over the sun and shut it out so that men could see the darkness of their hearts and the darkness that was upon his son. And this is the way that it's described in Isaiah 53. It says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And this is the time when not only his God forsook him, when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the light of heaven and the light of the Son of God was made darkness, was made blackness, because it says, thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And the Lord Jesus had to cry out and ask his God why he had forsaken him. And that was the Savior's day of darkness. But I read to you in the Psalm about weeping may endure for the night. It says, but joy cometh in the morning. And as suddenly as God had darkened the sun miraculously, it says, after those 3 hours of darkness, God said, it's all over now. And the Lord Jesus said, it's all over now. He said, it is finished. And then that darkness was removed, and then the light of heaven shined again. And there was not one other pain that our Lord Jesus could feel from the hand of man and from the hand of God who had made his soul an offering for sin. And our Savior tells us this in the Psalms. He had cried, why hast thou forsaken me? But we are not told in the New Testament account of all the exchanges that were taking place between the Son and the Father when he was on the cross. But the Lord Jesus tells us this in Psalm 16. It said, and in Acts 2 as well, thou madest known unto me the paths of life. It says, thou wilt fill me with joy and gladness. The Lord Jesus said, I shall be joyful. I shall be satisfied. He said, when I see thy countenance. And so the Father showed him the paths of life. And the Lord Jesus said, my flesh shall dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to hell. Neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. You made known unto me the ways of life. He said, you filled me with joy by your countenance. And the Lord Jesus there had his soul filled with light. And this is what he told that thief on the cross. That's why I read it to you. He said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That was the joy that filled his soul. But our Savior knew more than anyone that first there must be the sufferings. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The weeping, the suffering, the sorrow, the darkness. But in the case of Christ, it was for a day. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. And after it was all over, the Lord Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then that very day, the Lord Jesus saw the countenance of his Father in heaven. His body was laid in the tomb. Yes, he was physically dead those 3 days of which he spoke. But he said concerning his soul, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he had told that thief, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And as soon as he said, it is finished, and gave up the ghost, Immediately the spirit of our Savior was in the presence of his Father, and he saw the face of his Father, and once again the light of the Father looked upon the light of the Son, and the day of darkness and all other times of darkness were forever removed from the experience of our Savior. Because in his case, and as in the case of all true children of God, weeping and sorrow and darkness are temporary. You must remember that. It says, yes, weeping may tarry for the night. It may come in. God allots all of us to experience some of this darkness and weeping and sorrow. He said, but joy is going to come in the morning. So for our Savior, there was darkness, but that was just a day of darkness. You see, the joy came in the morning. For all the Christians, sorrow, weeping, darkness may come in for the evening, but joy cometh in the morning. But for all of you who do not know Christ as Savior, I want to bring to your attention some of the most horrible words that are recorded in the Word of God. Concerning you who do not know Christ as Savior, God has something reserved for you. It says there is reserved for those who do not know Christ as Savior the blackness of darkness forever. I want you to remember that this Easter morning, that God has something reserved for you. If you will not have the light of heaven, God says, then I have reserved for you the blackness of darkness forever. And this is described, even though hell is spoken of as a lake of fire. In the book of Job it says, where the light is as darkness. And that is going to cover your soul forever. The Lord Jesus entered into a darkness because his soul was being made an offering for sin. But just as during a true eclipse of the sun, I've seen one. Usually in a man's lifetime there is only one, but I saw it clearly. And the sun was shining, and suddenly it was completely eclipsed. There was a black globe up in the heaven. And then suddenly, the sun shined in its strength, and you would never know it happened. And so that is the way it was with Christ. There was that hour of darkness in his soul. But as in the case of an eclipse, why, the sun shines again, and the darkness is gone. That's the way it was with Christ. And then, to show you that that light has returned again for him, I cannot help but rejoice in this. It says in Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. He's going to see of the travail of his soul. All of those sinners for whom Christ died, he's going to see them. And it says his soul shall be satisfied. And this is a remarkable revelation that was made by those Dead Sea Scrolls that were found. Concerning Isaiah 53, it says this. It says, after the travail of his soul, he shall see light. Isn't that remarkable? And so if he sees of the travail of his soul, then he is alive again. He has seen that he has not died in vain, but some for whom he died believe on him. And Christ has died for you, and he wants you to trust him. He wants you to have the light of heaven and to show you that darkness no more is to be associated with our Savior. It says that when John saw him in the book of Revelation, it said his face did shine as the sun. And it says also that in this holy city they have no need of sun or moon or stars by night. Because it says God gives them light, and it says the Lamb is the light thereof. And that darkness that flooded his soul when he hung upon the cross is forever gone. He has come and he has died for sins once, but that darkness associated with the Savior is gone forever. And now his face shines as the sun. And when the Apostle Paul saw him on the road to Damascus, he said there was a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. And here is heaven, and it is illumined by the Lamb of God. And that is our portion, dear child of God. Sorrow, yes, sorrow may endure for the night, it says, but joy cometh in the morning. And the joy of the Lord Jesus was being once again with his Father. And our joy is going to be united forever with the Savior. And for us is reserved the light of heaven and the glory of Jesus Christ forever. And the blackness of darkness forever is reserved for those who will not have Christ as Savior. There was the day of Christ's darkness, but now there is forever the day of Christ's light. Trust in his Savior and join us who are in the light. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that your Son experienced darkness for us, that there was that night in his soul, and that was told us that Christ has also at once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We are thankful for the night that he endured. We are thankful for the light that can now be the portion of those who will trust him as Savior. We are glad, our Father, that night forever is gone for him. And for us who are going through periods of night, thou hast promised us that sorrow and weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We thank you for the hope of that morning when as Christ rose from the dead, and there was that eternal morning for him, that we also shall rise from the dead or meet him in the air, and there shall be that eternal morning of light for us. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.